Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody out there. Hey, no, let's go up in here, right? Yeah, let's do that. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muffle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you're a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, with two solid legs, thick squat legs, and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4P Muscle. But you got to drive like what, Dan?
It's too late. You skipped it. You skipped it. But for those of you who know, like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Yeah!
Toot, toot.
There you go. And now let's talk up in here.
Let's just talk. You know, we're still down under, though. Your Shakespearean accent, I fear it's lost. I fear it's lost.
What?
You haven't
what?
Found it
what?
Yet.
My accent is lost.
That's English. You sound more like an English bloke, but
what's
still
not
say? Shakespeare.
Come on.
Nay, I say nay.
Hey,
all
hey.
Right, we're done. We are done. We are done. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to P4P Real Talk with hashtag Team Awesome, a.k.a. Kaylin, Lindy, Your Ear, Patterson, and Desiree. I don't have a good nickname, Fletcher. So that's what we got. Hope you guys have been doing well. Want to send our thoughts and prayers out to all the folks in Texas and Louisiana. You know, the darndest thing, I mean, we've seen hurricanes and tropical storms before, and they're always devastating. Sometimes they sizzle out when they hit mainland before doing any kind of major damage. But my goodness, Harvey came in, dropped a boatload of water, a ton of water, went back out, regained steam, and turned into a hurricane again, and is, you know, dumping even more water. So definitely our prayers and thoughts are with all those individuals and to all of the people who are coming to their aid. And for anyone who wants to help support the individuals who are being impacted by Harvey, the easiest place I've seen to make a financial contribution is to go to the Red Cross website. And they have a donation site set up specifically for Harvey victims. And then you can also text the word Harvey. And if you give me a second here, maybe if I can find it here quickly. You can text the word Harvey to 90999. And that'll automatically add a $10 donation to your cell phone bill, and all of those monies will be contributed to the Harvey victims. So a couple of easy ways to support those folks there, in addition to your prayers. And, you know, hopefully this storm will dry up soon.
Yeah, sure hope so.
Yeah. I feel like, we're kind of getting an outside sensation now, and I'm not sure who that's coming from, but I'll go ahead and call it out before Kaylin does.
Thank you. Somebody got a window
down?
So
anyway, I don't know.
No, I'm all good over here.
Okay, well, then I don't know. I guess it's just one of those additional sound effects we have going on tonight. But with that being said, you've already heard our third voice, and we've got an awesome guest tonight. And Mr. Patterson, I'm going to turn the floor over to you to set us up.
Okay. Well, today's guest is very knowledgeable, very intelligent, and very passionate about all the things he's involved himself in. And I really appreciate that because he's so giving, but he's given the right information and given the right knowledge. Because there's a lot of people who want to help, but they just don't know how, or they usually don't have the tools to get the job done. And this man has been blessed with all of the above, and he just gets it done. He finds some way. And so it's a blessing in itself. I'm just really happy to have him on because, you know, he's got so much first-hand knowledge And a lot of people ask questions, but, you know, it's like we got to check in, we got to get an answer, we got to do this, that, whatever. This guy has done it, and he's been doing it quite well. And I'm really happy that we have him on the show. So I'm going to let him introduce himself, give his background, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Kalen, thanks for the welcome. I definitely appreciate everything you're saying. And my goal tonight is to kind of raise some hairs on some people and talk about some subjects that maybe we formed an opinion on with not having, like, every perspective from an experience level. So I hope to add that aspect to the show tonight. But I'll go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Zach, and for the past 10 or so years, I have been in the fitness industry in varying aspects. I'm not a competitive bodybuilder myself, but I'm kind of what you would consider a bodybuilding enthusiast. So, you know, I do love the sport, and for many years I was deep into the lifestyle, as you would say, but the competing aspect just never really triggered my interest. But what did was research in all aspects, which eventually led into my own self-experimentation with a lot of different things that I hope to shed some light on today. But a little bit more about myself before, so you can kind of paint a better picture of where I'm coming from with all of this. Originally, I started working kind of like any young guy that starts off in the fitness industry at the front desk at my local gym. And I was blessed enough to work with some of the best people I've ever worked with. Their names are John and Diana Hicks. Their son, actually, Kyle Hicks, was my best friend for many years, and he actually passed away due to some of the complications that we're going to be talking about today. So this show, kind of, if I may do so, I kind of shout this show out to Kyle, and hopefully we can learn a lesson from what we're going to talk about today and also become a little more knowledgeable on the subject. And I'm not expecting to necessarily change anyone's opinion, but I think that when you hear what I have to say about it, it will show you from a whole other perspective things that you may have assumed before.
And that's solid work. And, you know, granted that we have a lot of people suffering in Texas right now, and you know, our thoughts and prayers are definitely out with them. But there's also the fact that we've lost people that have just passed away. And we don't want to go without having people understand the background and the parameters of what brought that about. Because I think it's basically, you know, this person died, feel sorry for them, and then move on with life. And that's not how it works. You know, if there's no knowledge gained from a death, then there's just the better chance for another death to come along behind it. And that's what we're trying 100%. To, trying to keep that from happening. So, Zach, you can bring about the two people that basically brought this, you know, topic about, and just speak a little bit about your status, because it was so well written. I was just drawn to it from the, you know, the first second I started reading.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And I think that maybe the best context here would be for me to kind of just go ahead and read the status verbatim, and then we'll elaborate on it from
Sounds
there.
Good.
So I actually have it right in front of me. So the status was about Rich Piana, and this came, obviously, after we know shortly after Dallas McCarver's death. And here's what I had to say about it, and we can go from there. Rich Piana's death sheds an interesting light on the topic of drug use in the sport. Steroids will always be there and always will. I've seen and experienced some crazy, we'll say, stuff, and know of others personally, and have seen it 100 times more in front of their own eyes. But, and here's the big but, I think the common non-steroid using fan or enthusiast, or even some of our, you know, local gym rats who just happen to dive into steroids, they've become more awakened to the fact that there is a copious amount of recreational drug use in bodybuilding that most never see, hear, or talk about. And I went on to list some things that go on that many people, you know, at first you read it and it's kind of gruesome thinking about all this stuff, but it's what happens. So here's the list. Them taking GHB before bed to help them sleep and to help them produce more growth hormone. Now, if you're not familiar, GHB is the date rape drug. They taking Oxycontin and other opiates and Norcos all day to take the edge off the pain. Eating Xanax all day and eating Xanax before bed because they're taking so much Tren that
We are so aggressive and can't sleep, and our nervous system is so stimulated that we literally need a benzodiazepine, Xanax, to calm our nervous system down. The Adderall and the cocaine and the speed and the methamphetamine all day to combat the lethargy from the diet and drug protocol, the heroin when you don't feel, the 5 to 8 Oxycontin a day, the abuse of insulin, crazy combos like ecstasy and Viagra at clubs until 6 in the morning doing cocaine all night. These things sound so crazy, and I know it doesn't apply to everyone that uses steroids or even people that don't use steroids. And the point of the status was, you know, may Rich rest in peace, but to all of the young people in the fitness and bodybuilding scene that idolize these people, they really truly have some of the most intense demons deep down inside that they're running from, and their whole life is a product of this. And it becomes a vicious cycle. It becomes a vicious cycle masked by how huge can I get? They want to be the freak. They want to stand out. They don't want to, they want to feel like they're the ones that are being talked about. And again, I'm not speaking for everybody by any means, but this fact cannot go unnoticed, because this is like an example of something that was on a huge platform, a huge stage in front of the whole world. So we're able to see it from that perspective. But what about if we zoom in the lens a little bit and take a closer look at every different level of the bodybuilding community? And as we start to get deeper, maybe not in like the pro level stages, because I was actually talking to a friend, and I'm going to let him be unnamed, but he is friends with a lot of not only top level bodybuilders, but affiliated with people who know how and where bodybuilders acquire the things that they do their job. And, and it is, it's pretty crazy the extent that these people go to, and it's not so much like the top 5 Olympians or the people that you see on stage, because, you know, those people truly, I mean, the steroid abuse is clearly there, but I'm not saying that they abuse recreational drugs. It's more so when we get into our local gym scene, and in this show, I hope to bring about some good points on why this happens so that people can understand it, because I was going down that road myself. And I can tell you from experience, not only for myself, but all the people I hung around. And I'll kind of just take a minute to pause here so we can reflect on that. And then if you'd like, we can go into some of the reasons why these people are doing what they're doing.
Well, you know, and that was actually my first question is of, okay, so you just shared that you found yourself going down this same road. What was it that you even started you on that path? Because as you said, competition was never something that really appealed to you, but you were definitely into the lifestyle. And so I'm thinking, well, you really don't have that end goal that might spur someone to do anything and everything they can to get ahead. So what, I guess, what got you started on that path?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And it brings up, Here's the crazy thing. I'm 27 years old, and when I was about 17 was the first time I remember I went away to school freshman year of college. I went to University of Illinois, and my original degree was exercise science. And when I got there, it really put a bad taste in my mouth because, I mean, this is just my opinion, but the major academic institutions like that, at least for like a bachelor's degree in exercise science, maybe it was just because it was the first classes of the program or something, but it just seemed so, like, outdated. We were literally talking about the food pyramid in class. And it was at that point where I realized that I needed to just reevaluate what it is I want to do. So I came home, went to junior college, and that is where I started getting really, really into working out. And I've always been super interested and passionate, I guess you could say. And at that point in time, it was definitely with a whole lot of narcissism sprinkled on it, very interested in my appearance. So, you know, I had done modeling. You know, I used to work as the guy who stood outside Abercrombie with his shirt off during high school. Like, I was that guy. So I went to the gym, and I remember seeing these guys, and they were like 30. And, you know, I always knew steroids existed. There's big, huge bodybuilders and stuff. But I just saw these guys, and I'm like, damn, these guys look pretty much like models, but not like pretty boy models, but they're just bigger than average and way more ripped. And I'm like, I want to look like that. I don't look like a big, huge bodybuilder. I want to look like this guy. So, you know, he was an older guy. We started to get to talking. And then, you know, I realized that he took steroids. He just didn't take as much or eat as much or do all these like go to the extremes that bodybuilders do to gain that size. So I'm like, oh, wow, mm-hmm. great. Well, sign me up, basically. And at that point in time, like, I don't think the person did it to be malicious or anything. I just think that they weren't educated either. So they were just like, all right, sweet. And, yeah, I met him there the next week, and I bought my first cycle, and it was three things of all things. Like, I don't know what I was thinking or what he was thinking, but I took test, trend, and EQ, small doses of each, but still three compounds for my first cycle, and I literally just, like, turned me into a Greek god. And so clearly it wasn't as glorious as it sounds, because what came along with it, especially at this highly developmental stage in my life, was this, like, new way of thinking that I didn't even really conjure up. It just started affecting all of my decision-making processes, and all of it affected my subconscious. It affected how I thought about myself and what I thought about the world. And, you know, we'll talk later about why I think that happened, but from there, what I found myself doing was being more and more impulsive about the things that I was doing, and I just didn't know why. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm the type of person that when I do something, you know, I do it 100%, you know, all the time. But with this, it was just like this weird, like, euphoria, and you literally feel like a god. And this is coming from me, who's still going through puberty at the time, and, like, so I have no clue what's going on. I just think I feel amazing. And but I started to notice that I was treating people differently. And people around me were making it clear, too. In fact, like, you know, I was in a relationship at the time, and my girlfriend dumped me, and I was talking to all these girls and blah, blah, blah. It just, you know, and that was my first taste. So fast forward a little bit, and I started becoming obsessed with not taking the steroids necessarily, even though I took them and didn't come off. But it was more so, like, knowing more and more about, like, what each thing does, how it affects the body. Like, I got deep, deep, deep into the science of it. And then I just essentially started becoming a human experiment and just seeing what all I could get away with doing. And not huge doses like Rich Piana doses, but just I wanted to experience everything. It wasn't even for the muscles so much as it was, like, it just made me feel different. And that's when I started to realize that this is changing the way I think. And now, knowing what I know, being 27, I realize how much it affects your actual brain chemistry. And that is what I truly believe is the root cause of the flow into recreational drug use from steroids. Now, I'm not talking about your traditional, like, you know, oh, smoke pot one time and now you're going to shoot up heroin. I'm not talking about, like, a gateway drug. I'm talking you become a narcissist. You don't care about consequences. You don't care about feelings. You don't care about what it's doing to your body or what it's doing to people that you love. You just care about yourself, and you know, and you justify it by how can anyone be mad that I look this good, basically, or that I feel this good?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So, as I started to, you know, I'm a pretty spiritual person now, and so I'll just talk about it in terminology from that. I was a very ego-driven person, very ego-oriented, and I really wasn't being true to myself or being true to what I know our purpose in this world is, and the only way that I knew that was to stop doing what I was doing. But here's the real kicker. You ready? So
okay.
I am still taking testosterone now, but because my body physically doesn't produce it anymore, I'll be taking it for the rest of my life. And granted, I take about 175 milligrams a week, and I'm going to have to do that forever.
Wow.
Huh.
So
and
now,
no
basically,
joke.
That's no joke. I'm infertile. I'm 27. I can't have kids. I'm going to take testosterone every week for the rest of my life. And, I mean, I know a lot of people can say, like, oh, well, you learned so much, and I did. But at the end of the day, I lost so much, in my eyes, potential, because, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to jump through hoops, essentially, to have a kid. And a lot of these young guys that are idolizing these, it doesn't even have to be, like, the world's biggest bodybuilder that they're idolizing, but they're idolizing these people that you don't know what they do behind closed doors. Like, you don't know that when I wanted to get ripped, me and my friends, we didn't go party, but we did do a bunch of cocaine and go to the gym and work out till we literally sweat until our arms were shaking and, you know, do drugs and get on the step mill and get shredded and take steroids and eat Anadrol and eat Winstrol and take Tren and just rage out in the gym, granted, you know what I mean? But we all just pawned it off on the fact that, like, at least we're not at the bars partying, you know? Like, I feel like that's what – everyone has this, like, all-or-nothing mentality about fitness now. That if everywhere you go on Instagram, it's like, oh, I'm not going to eat turkey with my family on Thanksgiving because I'm a bodybuilder and I don't do family shit. I'm a bodybuilder. You know what I mean? And that's the attitude that I gained about food, about working out, about drugs. And it's just all these kids that I would talk to working in retail. So, you know, I worked at the gyms for a while and then I worked in supplement retail, which is one of the best experiences I had in life. I mean, I'm really passionate about sales and it taught me a lot about myself, but it really taught me about what goes on in these kids' heads. Like, they literally idolize these people, and it is crazy to think that the extent that they'll go to be just like them when they don't even know what it is that they're about to embark on. And the analogy I always use for every single person that ever asked me about steroids, because if somebody asked me if I ever took steroids, I would just tell them straight up, because right after that, I also told them exactly what happened to me and what the results of it were. And, like, they literally just have no clue. And it's almost like, had they not talked to me that day, like, they're about ready to go home and just stick a needle in their butt 2 minutes after they left the shop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Oh,
wow. I'm just really just kind of sitting back and, yep.
Yeah, this one, you know, this is something that we definitely need to get out there, because I think people, our listeners are not really prepared for what they're hearing right now, but they need to hear it. And Culture Shock is why we're doing this whole episode. And it's basically to address the fact that, yeah, this world does exist, and this could happen to your children. And I'll let that segue go to Des now.
And, you know, I was just going to say, just really trying to sit back and absorb everything that you said, because I don't even know that I was quite expected to hear all that, because, you know, yes, on the steroid front of it, we talk about this a lot, but just the recreational drug use that went along with it. Now, that's a darker side to to this sport that I really hadn't given a lot of thought or attention to. And I realize there are other elements that go along with bodybuilding, but they also go along with other major sports that are out there, and it's not something that we need to necessarily get into on this show. But I guess, you know, I don't know if you want to call it being naive, or you would just think, especially in bodybuilding or being an athlete, that, you know, with the amount of respect or the amount of work that you're putting into your body, that, you know, cocaine and these other drugs wouldn't be something that you would pursue. But evidently,
right,
it just...
Well, here's the thing. You make a great point, because athletes don't do that. But guess what? These people in the gym, they're not athletes. Like, elite-level bodybuilders are athletes, yes. But they're the elite level bodybuilders that we're talking about that, you know, aren't doing this type of recreational drug use, because this is literally like their full-time job. I'm talking about the people like I was, who were, you know, maybe they did some local shows, or, you know, they did their little local NPC show, amateur type deal. But it's the recreational gym people. It's the Instagram, the YouTube, the people like all the famous YouTube stars that are all clearly using gear and have millions of followers. They have their own supplement line, and they're preaching to their followers about how they should take their supplements, blah, blah, blah. Well, what we don't really think about is these people may work out in the same gym that athletes work out in, but they don't play a sport. They don't even play the sport of bodybuilding. If you want to go with that angle, most of them don't even compete. They do it literally purely for vanity. And here is what can make more sense to people who don't have an addictive personality, or who haven't embarked on that, like, cycle, is that there is a root issue in the psyche of people who their ultimate concern is their body image. because that's why I have a newfound respect for natural bodybuilding, because it truly, yes, they're there to build their temple and build their body, but like, I feel like it's more body and mind, whereas the only body and mind growth that happens from the other side of the spectrum where people are abusing steroids is their mind growth just comes from what they call discipline. But discipline is just really isolating yourself into this hole and doing nothing but taking drugs and lifting. That's what they're confusing as lifting. Or I mean as discipline. They're just locking, they're just not associating with the world and doing drugs and working out with their friends that do the same things as them. And that's not dedication in my opinion. That's just being a closet addict and calling it something that sounds way nicer.
Yeah. Well, you know, Zach, I'm going to bring up something because you and I, we talk a lot, and we talk a lot, especially when I'm going to be, you know, doing the show from Click Nutrition. Excuse me. And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, just the overall idea of what you're getting into, and you were like, dude, they don't even know the half of it, and they're basically being pushed into it by blind, willful ignorance. Because they don't ask the right questions. And when they'd ask you, it was like, you know, like somebody had opened up the door to a dark room and then they cut the light
yep.
on, and then they were so blinded they just weren't ready to hear it sometimes.
Yep. Right, yeah, I remember having conversations with you standing there and you're just like, oh my God, what is going on? And, you know, like when a kid comes in at 18 years old and tell me that he just started taking Trend. Do you know Trend is
yeah.
literally made for animals? Like, that is not even made to put in a human's body. That's made so that you can inject it into a cow and that they can eat grains instead of grass and grow pure muscle. That's what it's for. And you're going to inject it in your body and not even know what it is? Do you know that, like, the reason why people take steroids and become depressed and, you know, they start thinking differently is because steroids literally deplete your body of dopamine and other hormones basically that make you feel good and feel good about yourself. It's just like any other drug. It just, you can only take so much. So, I remember you standing there and I would have a conversation with these kids and I'd be like, yeah. So, they'd be like, oh, I want to look like you, or, you know, I want to, you know, be just really ripped like a model, not like a bodybuilder. I'm just going to do a little bit, blah, blah, blah. I was like, hey, I mean, if you think it's worth it, I mean, I can't tell you not to do it because I was already doing it when I was your age. But at the end of the day, what I can tell you is I can't have kids. Do you ever want to have kids? If that's even a thought in your mind, I'm not saying that you taking steroids will make you not have kids. I'm saying that I also thought that I would be able to have kids forever, but now I can't, and I'm 27 because I was uneducated. It's something that can happen, like – is you having the perfect physique really worth that?
I mean, that's a good question. That's a good, solid question to ask. We have a listener, Corey. He wants to know, how long did you take steroids?
Oh, man, that's a great question. So I started when I was 17 and didn't even cycle off and probably continued for 4 to 5 years, totally uneducated, because I would just read about what I can do to try more things. I never read about, like, how I was supposed to come off. I didn't even know that was a thing. And so to answer your question more directly, I still take testosterone now via, like, I get blood work done, and I physically don't make testosterone. So, I mean, I'm 27 now, so that makes 10 years.
Hmm.
And recreational.
And I'm pretty sure
the
question was
eight.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So I really
so
woke up.
That was quite
up
a bit of abuse
just,
on your body.
Oh yeah, I really like. Oh man, that's not even the tip of it. Like, I literally got a staph infection. I got MRSA, and I was in the hospital for a week on my 21st birthday because, long story short, I bought some gear online, shot at my shoulder. And it was contaminated, got a staph infection, my parents had to spend probably like $15,000 on me sitting in the hospital for a week. And by the end of it, I thought they were going to have to amputate my arm because you can't just let MRSA flow throughout your body. You'll die. So, I mean, this is nothing. I've gotten abscesses cut out. Like, to tell someone that steroids
wow.
aren't addicting, like, to tell someone that steroids aren't addicting, clearly they've never really done it. Because how can you honestly say even if people have taken or that have.
Hello?
I think we lost him.
Either that or he hit a dark spot.
Well,
oh,
know,
yeah. He may have him. Hopefully he'll call back
in.
But go on.
Some of the topics he's talking about, because he and I have, we've had some really deep conversations in there. Because, you know, basically he was making it a life choice to steer kids away from that choice, because they weren't really looking at the ramifications of the choice they were making, because they just weren't given the negative side and the information. You know, it's going to change your life. It's going to do this. It's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be so great. That's what they're hearing, and they're seeing these guys. And, you know, the guy that's basically doing his sales pitch and doing clever marketing is going to put out the stuff that works. Like anybody that's selling any product, you're going to make it sound like the best thing in the world. And when you're seeing, you know, the workouts and the heavy weight lifted, and, you know, guys want to be strong and whatever, and they see the appeal of it, and they it's basically that microwave mentality where, you know, it's going to all happen right now, and I'm going to be, you know, in a month, I'm going to be so different and so amazing. But they don't see the side of the, you know, the people we've seen that have failed drug tests at natural bodybuilding shows because they're doing so many drugs. So, you know, it's kind of weird that, you know, we live in this day and age, but we're still not getting the correct amount of information.
I know.
Yep.
No doubt.
Hey. I'm not here.
Welcome back.
Can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me now? Oh, perfect. Thank you. Awesome. Yeah, but, yeah, people aren't getting the amount of information that they need, and when they do hear the real truth, it's so funny that, like, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't even call myself anti-steroids even after all of this. What I really am is pro-education. And hopefully then people just have enough sense to just not do it, not because we, prohibited it, because I don't think prohibition really works on anything in general. But the more real info we get to people, I mean, if you would have told me when I was 17, hey, man, you want to take all these steroids? You look amazing. But guess what? You're never having kids. I mean, I want to look really good, and I was a pretty vain person, but I would have said no.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really am hoping that people that are on the edge of just kind of debating, like, oh, maybe I'll just take it one time, or I'm just going to do this one cycle, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure Kaylin's even heard me say this analogy before, and I've said it literally a million times. I know a lot of people who have taken steroids, a lot. And I can honestly tell you, I don't know one, not one single person who has only taken steroids one time.
Right. That's so true.
So how can anybody say that's not addicting? Like, then why do people just continue to do it? It's not just a choice if it's negatively impacting your life and then you continue to do it. And even if you don't think it's negatively impacting your life, chances are you're not reaching your full potential if you're abusing steroids. I'm not saying if you go to the doctor and he prescribes you testosterone that now you're magically this, like, drug-infused person who's going to start doing cocaine and going to the gym. But what I am telling you is if you take steroids and you continue to take them and you abuse them and you're not educated on what they're doing hormonally and in your brain, then you're likely to make decisions that aren't parallel with your normal decision-making. And that can lead you down to a road that you never thought you would be on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And isn't that
the
true
totally
definition of
that.
A drug addict? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
People don't intend to do that, but they do end up doing it. And here's the thing. They always justify why it's fine because, oh, at least I'm not going out to the bars drinking with my friends. Oh, I'm just obsessed with fitness. You're not obsessed with fitness if you're just eating as many calories as you can all day to keep up with all the drugs that you're taking and then take and combating side effects of those drugs with other drugs. Like, let's put it this way. Let's talk about bodybuilding and powerlifting, and let's use the old kind of like jargon, I guess, that people take steroids because they want to eat more and lift more, and that's all. That's the only reason why they take them. Well, first of all, that's totally, in my opinion, not true, because they're not even considering what's happening in their subconscious that's making them gravitate towards a drug that's going to alter their appearance anyway. But at the end of the day, like, you're just pounding food. You're literally just pounding food and working out, and that takes a toll on your body. So what happens when you've been doing this for 10 years and you know that you can eat a couple painkillers and it will go away? Like, people don't go to the gym and tell their friends that they go home and recreationally use any prescription or recreational drugs. Like, you don't just chat about that. So if this seems like one of those things that, like, maybe this guy just hangs out with, like, weird people, or maybe Zach is just, like, in a weird scene. Like, this is kind of like a weird niche of bodybuilding. Like, I would say probably 85% of the people that I know that have taken and or currently take steroids also recreationally use drugs or prescription drugs.
Hmm. You know, I'm surprised, but I really shouldn't be surprised, because, you know, when you were talking earlier about how, you know, we'll think, you know, someone will think steroids aren't addictive, and you're always going to have those people out there that are going to say, you know what, that is the extreme of what happens. I can point to 100 other guys who have taken steroids safely, and they didn't have any of these issues, and they didn't have this, and they didn't have that. And then you'll have those that will be like, well, I can just try it once. I won't be the one that gets addictive. But you know what? Even if you don't think the drug is addictive, and even if you have that type of personality or system where you could, take or give something, it doesn't really matter. You can try it a couple times and still put it down. You know, the one thing that you're really not going to put down is muscle, and muscle is addictive. And once you get hooked on that, you know, if you're one of those folks that's willing to experiment with anything, then it's only going to be a matter of time. So you really can't have that devil may care attitude when it comes to experimentation, because we talk about all the time, results are addictive, and they are, whether you're a bodybuilder or you're losing weight. In health and wellness in general, once you start to see results, that is the biggest motivating factor to keep going. It is.
Absolutely.
That's just true.
And anything it is. Like, let's just say there was a pill right now that was illegal, but you could take it and it would make you double your income, and you just didn't really know all the side effects, but you know other people that have taken it too, and they doubled their income. So you want to double your income, so you take the pill. Like, ultimately, if you don't take it, you're going to always be thinking, like, what could have happened if I took the pill? And I think that's a thought that happens in a lot of natural bodybuilders that I've talked to, whose mind is, what potential could I have reached if I would have done that? Well, that's an attitude that we need to drop, because it's not about what you could have gained. It's about what you didn't lose.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness. We need to put that one in the archives for sure. And you know, one of the things that I want to bring up is, there's a lot of people that are speaking a lifestyle that they're truly not living. And if that's not an addict, I don't know what is, because denial is one of the first signs that something is not right with your life. When Zach was talking about going and hiding, that's a good point that he brought up.
Yep, and, we can kind of transition even the addiction thing and kind of stray away from, like, how morbid the whole drug part of it is. But if we take the same equation and pull out steroids and drugs, but just plug in actual bodybuilding itself, like bodybuilding as what it is, like, people can be just as obsessed with bodybuilding through body image as that same analogy compares to people who take steroids, because it's just those same results that everyone else is addicted to, but amplified. And they have the mental feeling that goes along with it.
There you go.
So to see how someone couldn't be addicted to it is, like, it doesn't really make sense, because it's the same reason why you like to do curls to grow your arms, because you like the way your arms look after you do curls. Well, if you could do those same curls and they would look better, obviously you're going to like it more. It's just, you can't say that isn't how it works, because that's just the system of, like, that's our body's pleasure-seeking system. That's, like, benefit and reward. Like, we do things for a reason, and that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just understanding that is the reason. I mean, I think that's part of the battle. Exactly. Okay, so we have some listener questions stacking up here. But first, Bill wants to say thank you to you, Zach, for being so open about this topic. He's very shocked, I think, about what you're sharing and the fact that you're willing to talk about it so candidly. So he thanks you for that. Stephanie wants to know, and this is a good question, Stephanie, how many women come along with the same mentality and narcissistic ideals? You know, because we've been mostly focusing on guys, I feel. So
yeah,
how do women
point.
Play into this equation?
All right, so that adds a whole another twist to it. So obviously girls' main concern is they want to reach their ideal body image just as a man does. But even though each gender is doing something that, you know, is equally taboo when it comes to drug use, they have a different strategy. So with girls, it comes in the form of just unrealistic idealization. They're like, they idolize people that if they truly knew that it was unattainable naturally, I don't even know if it would even stop. Literally so infatuated with them. And that is obviously due to social media and just body image issues that we all have, male and female. But really what I'm getting at here is the drug use is just as prevalent. It's not, in my opinion, so much like the painkillers and the, you know, whatever, but it's more like the club drugs. And it's things that speed your metabolism up and make you lean. It's the same reason why girls eat Adderall, because it curbs their appetite and gives them energy. I mean, we're not just talking about drugs that you buy on the street here. We're talking about prescription drugs, recreational drugs, the clenbuterol, the ephedra, the stimulants to speed their metabolism up. When they, you know, want to bump up in a category to maybe figure or physique, then we start introducing androgens and anabolics like Winstrol and Primobol and an Anavar. And a lot of it has to do with all of these social media coaches that supposedly are the reason why these girls look the way they do. So then as, you know, girls go deeper into finding out how their idols look the way they do, they find out, oh, they have a coach. So maybe they go to hire a coach and, you know, they're motivated to do their first show. Then they do their first show and they get blown away. And then they equate, well, I dieted. It was so painstaking for 12 to 14 weeks or 18 weeks. I should have been way better. And the reason why I didn't win is because I'm not taking what they're taking. And that's where it all starts. So, yeah, to answer your question, with women, it's just as prevalent, maybe not as much as, like, the best way I can describe it is, like, the bro bodybuilder scene, like your typical L.A. fitness guy who's taking steroids and you can tell he's just walking around with an ego, like, type of thing. And I think it is becoming a little more prevalent now with girls, and it's beginning with – it's transitioning heavier into the drug side, but beginning with more of the whole, like – ego-driven narcissism that comes along with the whole all-or-nothing attitude about fitness. Like, I'm not going to even eat with my family because I got to eat this tilapia because I'm dieting for 18 weeks and blah, 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 blah. Like, it's their identity. It's something that they can identify with. And that's cool if we know balance, but if not, it's like any other addiction. You can't become consumed by it.
And I think that's a fine line that you have to keep in mind. There's a difference between dedication and addiction, because
right.
I'm going to go ahead and be the one that's going to defend some of that because it's necessary. If you have goals and this and that, you can't always do everything that everyone else is doing. And Kaylin and I have talked about tips at different holiday events and things that you can do to still be a part of the family equation without totally alienating yourself. So I get that. I get both of that. But some of that, I mean, it is necessary. Not to that degree
where
you're going to turn your family and those sorts of things. I'm not saying that. But so as far as the dedication part, I will throw that out there. But, you know, I do agree.
Yeah.
And there
sacrifice is
and you do need to know the difference. Yeah, it is
right,
part of the sport.
Yeah, sacrifice
so
is part of the plan, for sure. Yeah, and that brings up a great point. I meant to preface this by this whole thing by basically saying, like, I'm not coming from the perspective bodybuilding guru or that I know so much that I just choose not to bodybuild even though I think I could type of thing. Like, that's not my intentions whatsoever. It's purely to hopefully help someone that's kind of on the line about thinking about what, you know, making that next choice, see if, you know, steroids is something that they want to try. But I have the, like, craziest newfound respect, especially for natural bodybuilders, even bodybuilders that do take steroids. Like I said, I'm not pro or con. I'm pro education. But, yeah, it really is crazy. It's admirable, the level of sacrifice and dedication that goes into true bodybuilding, people that are true health enthusiasts and not basically narcissists, kind of like I was.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Couple more questions. Paul wants to know, in your opinion, how many people on steroids are mentally convinced that they are still natural? Is that a thing?
Oh, tons. Yeah. So basically, people have this new makeshift definition of what they think natural is. And, I mean, if we're going to talk about it in the realm of, like, natural bodybuilding, like the sport of bodybuilding, then definitely correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you guys are 10 times more knowledgeable. But I was just kind of under the impression that it's by what the governing bodies of your sport say is not natural. So if you're taking any of those things, then you're not natural. It doesn't matter if you're currently taking them or if you get off them before the show, you're not natural. So is my opinion right, or is that coming out there?
Yes.
Like,
oh, wow.
Is that true?
No, that's so perfect. It's spot on.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, I thought maybe I was just, like, misinformed, because all these people that are telling me that they're natural, I'm like, dude, I literally know the people who sell you steroids. Like, I know what you take, not even that you take it. I know what exactly it is that you take. So how are you going to sit here and tell me that you don't do it when I'm the most open person in the world? I'll literally tell you anything you want to know, and you're going to sit here and tell me that you don't take steroids or you haven't taken steroids. Like, come on, man. Lie to somebody else.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Preach. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wild world out there.
So another listener, Sam, she wants to know, and it's very much tagging on to what we were just speaking about, but why people say they are natural when they aren't. And I mean, and really, if they are not competitors, what is the benefit of them saying that they're natural if they're not? Because at that point, they've got nothing to lose by being one or the other, really.
Oh, I know exactly why it is. And because it was the reason that at first, when I first started taking steroids, before I just decided that, like, being open about it's the best policy, because clearly it's getting to the point where, like, people know that I just grew and it's just evident. But really what it boils down to is they're not proud of themselves. They don't know why it is that they're doing what they're doing, and they're feeling kind of on the edge. Like, what it is, here's the best way I can describe it, is they're still seeking their true purpose in life, and their temporary fix for not knowing what their purpose is by identifying with this culture of how big can I get. It's their temporary little net that they can fall in, because they don't have the answers that they're looking for in life. They know that there's more to life than this, but then why does right now it feel like this is all there is, and that I feel so passionately about it that I have to take drugs behind closed doors and lie to people about it? Like, that's not a normal thing. You know what I mean? That's not a normal thing at all. If someone just asks you, hey, do you bodybuild? You would, like, obviously you look like a bodybuilder. If someone says, do you bodybuild? You say no. They're going to look at you like you're an idiot. So if you look like you take drugs and you do take drugs and you say, hey, do you take drugs? And then they say no. You're like, bro, what is going on in your brain? Because clearly you're lying to yourself and to me. But the scary part is you're lying to yourself.
Exactly.
That's the scary part. You're literally lying. You're just, like, when people lie about something like that, it's something that's going on in their psyche. Like, this is, like, a deeply rooted self-esteem issue that it hasn't came to the surface yet. Like, it's just, that's really all there is to it. Anyone who says that it's not a self-esteem thing, like, one day when they experience some degree of loss of their ego and they become more in tune with what it is their true purpose is in life, they will be able to admit that
that they may not have been thinking rationally when saying that, because I used to say all of those things. Like, I was the biggest person who would defend steroid use in that culture. I would do it till I was blue in the face. And it just switched for me. Like, when all, like, the bad stuff started happening to me, I would lose friends, the hospital thing. Like, I'm like, okay, the common denominator here is me and drugs. Like, that's what the common denominator is. So, yeah, I hope, I know I kind of went off topic a little bit, but, yeah, it's deeply rooted in people's psyche and how they feel about themselves and the impression they want to make on the world that they think is, like, adding some sort of value. Like, a good analogy would be, like, hey, I'm clearly taking steroids. Here's my Instagram where I pretend like I'm not taking steroids, not by directly not saying that I'm not taking steroids, but just basically beating around the bush to the point that no one will actually ask, and when they do, I'm just going to step around the question. And by the way, you can buy my 6-week diet and also my fat burner pill, but just don't ask me about steroids. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude. Like, and the sad part is like, these people wouldn't even be making money if people weren't buying into it, and you can't even blame them because they want those results, and they found someone that has them. So, I mean, what other way is there to know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just like we say all these things, and they sound so obvious, but it's just like, then why do we keep doing it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, it's so this is so real. I mean, you just got our listeners just like, they don't even know how to ask a question because you're so raw with how you're answering it, and it's like you're basically covering everything they'd like to ask, but some are ashamed to ask everything. Because it's such a touch-and-go subject. And because, honestly, there are so many people I know that don't use that said, you know, if I had. And I'm thinking, why even go to that,
right,
know, that
exactly,
kind of
like,
process? It's just so
frustrating. Think about the people that do, and then they say the opposite, like me. Like, they're saying, like, oh, what if I did? And here I am thinking, like, man, what if I didn't?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing that, you know, we still have the level of ignorance, and I'm not slighting anybody, not, especially our listeners, God bless them, but, you know, sooner or later, you got to ask that tough question, and there are people like you out there, you know, because I thank God, you know, when I didn't understand the supplements that I was looking at, where you could break it down and explain it to me, and give me an honest, thorough, knowledgeable explanation of what's good about it, why it's crap, or why it's not even worth being put in a bottle. You guys exist, so we can't say that, you know, if I don't want to research it myself, there's not someone that hasn't researched it already. There's people that are passionate about supplementation, about their lives, like you. And, you know, so we can't be afraid of that tough question, because sooner or later we're going to have to ask it. We're going to have to face it, too.
Yeah, and you're going to have to – people end up learning it the hard way. And because here's another thing, too. Like, so these young guys that are using steroids, and let's just say they even knew the slightest about how to take steroids and the effects they have on your body, including, like, how to read a hormone panel and what kind of questions to ask your doctor, and are you going to your GP or are you going to an endocrinologist, like a sports medicine doctor. Like, they don't even think about these type of things, let alone get blood work done. Because what are they going to do? Go home to their mom and say, hey, mom, I work a $10 an hour job at MC Sports. And by the way, I take steroids and my balls are shrinking and I think something's wrong. So can we go to the hospital so I can get blood work done? Like, these are the things that need to happen, but don't ever happen. Because what is some teenager going to do? Just go home and admit to his mom that he needs to go to the doctor because he doesn't have any money and he's on their insurance? Like, these are things that literally happen every single day, like every single day. And no one talks about them because they just don't want anybody to know.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And, you know, and
yes.
I apologize for laughing. It was because that scenario is not funny, but just your choice of words to me was funny. So
I'm not laughing, but that's true. And the embarrassment
factor does have a lot,
like,
to do with that.
Yeah, they literally would come into the store and be like, hey, Zach, and pardon my language, I'm kind of just a little abrasive. I don't really know how else to put it, but they'll be like, hey, you know, I started this cycle, and I'm, you know, 18 or whatever, and, you know, I was with my girlfriend, and, you know, I can't get a boner. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, I mean, I don't really know what's going on. I mean, I thought I was supposed to be really horny on steroids, blah, blah, blah. It's like, so you wanted to get big biceps. Now you can't even do what it is that you want to do.
And somehow this is all worth it. Without reading a book, without looking at anything, without seeking a doctor, you just thought that you were going to stick a needle in your butt, go to the gym, get jacked, all the girls would love you, and now magically you can't do what you want to do with your girlfriend, and you can't tell your mama about it because you're only 18 and you're on her insurance and you've been living at her house and are probably going to keep living there for the next 8 years.
But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because erectile dysfunction, if we want to use the big words for it,
yep,
it's also a very real thing. It's also a very real thing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we like to laugh at that. Well, if you take steroids, then, yeah, your parts will shrink. Boys, whatever we want to call them here. But,
yep.
And some say that's a fallacy, but I think there are instances where it's very real. And now you're an adult,
okay,
and you're having issues. So you're no longer an 18-year-old that can't enjoy his girlfriend, but now you're an adult male who, if you're not married or if you are, at some point you have to explain it to every single relationship that you are,
yep,
in where you experience that level of intimacy.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
that
here's what happens too. It's the same reason why the kid doesn't go home and tell his mom about the doctor and go get blood work done. Is the same reason that some kid in college is not going to tell his girlfriend that he took steroids in high school and he hasn't had a sex drive since. You know what he does? He goes on some of these peptide websites and, you know, research chemical websites and buys liquid Cialis or liquid Viagra because that's what he read on some forum online when you can't have a libido, that you'll go on there and buy research grade Viagra and just start eating that. So now, you know, he can do what he needs to do, and then he does that for a year or so, and then he decides, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. Maybe this isn't probably the best thing. Maybe I'll just try to stop taking it. And then he realizes, oh, wait, the problem never went anywhere. I just took another drug to patch the symptoms from the drug I was taking because I didn't want to tell my girlfriend and I didn't want to tell my mama. And it sounds so crazy
so there you
to say,
go.
Like, I know I sound like a crazy person, but I guarantee you everyone that's listening to this show knows at least one person that is going through this. They just don't know it because people just don't go out to the gym and talk to their friends about issues that they're having because they decided to take steroids behind closed doors. Like, it just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why it's all the more important that you joined us tonight to be able to share this, because you know what, maybe it doesn't happen to everybody, but for the people that it is happening to, they need to know and understand, you know, possibly where some of their issues are stemming from, if they're not even putting two and two together, or if they have put two and two together but they're embarrassed about it. Dudes, you guys, or gals too, you have to stop being embarrassed in order to get the help,
yeah,
that you need. If there is,
yep,
still help that is going to work,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, and think about it this way, too. So if kids that are still, for lack of a better term, under their parents' control or guidance or whatever, are using steroids, because that's the age that it's starting now, when things start to go wrong, like let's say that we wouldn't normally attribute to steroids or people that aren't real well-versed on it, like depression and irritability and mental instability, especially at a young developing age like that, the parents' first inclination is to take them to the doctor, and the doctor is not going to run a male hormone panel test on a kid who's seemingly depressed. What is he going to do? He's going to go put them on Zoloft. So now they're on the antidepressant because their mom thinks they're depressed, and the kid's not going to tell her that he's taking steroids. Like, I'm just telling you, this stuff happens all the time, like literally all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
all because
definitely
eyes
so open.
To even talk about the side effects or talk about, like, you know, why it is that we consider doing these things. But if we would just talk about it a little more, and it wouldn't be such a shock anymore, and people wouldn't even have that. I feel like if more people knew all of this, that thought that runs across our heads, like, what if I would have taken steroids, it would just start to happen less and less and less, because people aren't going to your subconscious isn't going to associate with something that could be so devastating. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's for the same reason, like, the common person doesn't sit around and think, like, oh man, what would my life be like if I just shot up heroin? You know why? Because everyone knows that heroin sucks. Everyone knows you're going to turn into a degenerate if you do heroin. So it's like, I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case if you do steroids, but like, people even knew that half of it, I doubt they would sit around and be like, I wonder what it would be like if I took steroids.
Wow.
Well, I know. I'm still like, wow, but we are pretty much out of time, folks. So I don't know, Zach. We may have to have you back and continue this conversation. We'll see what kind of follow-up questions
we
get.
Do
but
a Thursday show. Would he be okay with this Thursday? Because, you know, I think now the listeners are understanding this is a real show. This isn't a farce. This isn't a joke. We weren't doing it to be comical in any way. And I think now they're starting to understand. Yeah. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I'm if you guys are okay with that, I'm always glad to be on the show. I appreciate you having me, and I know I'm pretty long-winded, and once I start getting talking, there's really no stopping me, so I definitely thank you, and
knowledge.
I thank everybody
for
hearing me out.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, no, but it's,
you okay with that,
it's all good. So I'm good with that. So with that, folks, we're going to go ahead and cut it off because we're going to have Zach back. So, and we will get to the questions we weren't able to address tonight. And on behalf of Zachary, Kaylin, myself, and the boys of P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.